I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Remember that one teacher who remains in your memory decades after you walked out of your last class? Not the one who gave you nightmares, no, the one who made you dream big dreams. We'll hear from a journalist who got to know such a teacher years after she taught her best class. That teacher was his mother. We'll hear more in just a few minutes. But first, though, we want to take a minute and say congratulations to the class of 2010. Hooray! And now what? How and when are you going to put that diploma to work, especially if you've got student loans to pay off? For some thoughts on what's next after graduation, the hunt for a job to pay the bills, we've invited Andy Chan, Wake Forest University's Vice President of Career Development. And equally important for some money advice, we've invited financial planner Luis Barajas, the author of the forthcoming book, My Street Money. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for being here.
Now, Luis, two very different scenarios. First, a student that just graduated with thousands of dollars in debt. Now, we understand that that's a far more common scenario than many people might have realized these days. And then second, a student who's just graduated with no debt. As a financial planner, what do you tell each person?
Well, you know, the first thing I do is when I'm talking to somebody like a college student who just graduated, is I have them do a budget, and even if they're still living with their parents, is what I call a kind of a pro forma budget, an independence budget. How do I become independent, and what are my bills that I have to pay? Not only what is going to be my payments for my school loans, but what would I have to pay for rent, gas, and everything. So the very first thing I do is have them do a budget and then take a look at what their monthly, what I call nut to crack is. I mean, what they have to overcome and what their financial hurdle is. We want clarity right from the start. And then, again, you know, they're going to start looking for jobs, which at least they can afford to just pay the basics or the minimum.
So you're saying that people should just sort of do that financial audit for themselves or on themselves as the first task, even before they start the active job hunt or even while they're in the midst of it. They really need to know what their monthly obligations are from the get-go.
Absolutely. Not only that, believe it or not, I'm doing it for the kids in high school. We have clients that come in and they bring their kids into high school, and most of the kids today really, I mean, they're humbled if they have to move back in with their parents, and we're seeing that more and more often now, and they really want to be independent. So what we do is we create a budget for them when they're in high school. When they graduate from college going 5 years forward, what would they have to earn and what would they have to be making if they're going to go out and get loans, and if they were to share an apartment with somebody, what would their rent have to be? It's really important. And the second thing I have them do is I have them do a personal net worth statement, not on the financial stuff, but on their qualitative assets. What skills do they have? What do they love to do? What are they great at doing? Because we want to focus some of the kids, even in high school when they go to college, on their unique ability so they can, right from the get-go, work, find a job or get a diploma in something that they really love doing so they can really be successful.
Andy, what are you advising students to do right now? I mean, you heard at the beginning of the program, we had a short clip from President Obama talking in his address to Hampton grads just about how tough things are right there. What are you advising students to do as to how they take these first few steps after graduation, especially those who haven't been fortunate enough to find employment yet?
I think the first thing is that students need to have a mind shift in terms of thinking positively about the situation. Being a college graduate is actually quite desirable to employers. You're younger and you're more open to considering different opportunities. You're willing to be paid less than a person who is 10 or 20 years older than you. But the main thing is that the student has to be professional, well-prepared, and be able to develop a really great resume and cover letter that communicates who they are and what they want to do. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of students take for granted, that the way that they write and the way that they communicate and how important that is to let employers know how interested they are in a job, that's something they have to take very seriously. The second big thing is that the best way to find a job is by networking and informational interviewing. And most students prefer to use the internet and search and search and search for jobs. And as I think we all know, that it's a great and powerful resource to help you learn about jobs, but it's not the greatest way to secure a job. Networking is a lot more reliable. And so getting students to think about how to connect with adult fans and friends, including your parents, your friends' parents, maybe coaches you had back in high school or professors that you worked with in college. Those are the best people to start with.
Andy, the career development program that you run at Wake Forest was recently featured in the Chronicle of Higher Education, in part for taking an approach to job hunting that begins in freshman year. Will you tell me a little bit more about that?
We are trying to transform the way students learn about and experience career development job search so that they're strategic, thoughtful, and prepared for life after college. If you think about most students, the way that they approach it now is that they don't think about it a whole lot. Their senior year, fall semester, they realize they have to get a job, and they begin that process, and they go to the Career Center and realize, wow, there's so much that I should have known before this point in time. So the key things that we're doing are, first, teaching students about the process right at orientation, giving them a four-year plan, being able to get them engaged with the career office, and being able to create a profile so that we can track them and they can stay in touch with us all throughout their experience. The second thing is that at Wake Forest, we have a very supportive community, and so we're creating a supportive network of mentors, what I would call a career community, and we're going to equip and train professors, upper-class students, and even parents to be effective mentors to their students. And finally, which was actually mentioned in the last conversation that you had, was just how important it is for students to take advantage of the summers they have, as well as the breaks, to think about both academic and experiential learning opportunities every single year while they're in college, not just their senior year.
You know, Lewis, you know, what occurs to me is that I'm thinking, obviously this is a difficult time for all college graduates. I'm thinking there are particular pressures on kids who may be the first in their families to graduate from college, who family members might not understand why they're still employed. They say, hey, you've got a college degree. What are you doing laying on my couch? This kind of thing. And I'm also thinking about some of the things that middle-class kids are taught to do, such as take unpaid opportunities, that people from different, just for the experience, that people from different backgrounds might have family members saying, what do you mean work for free? Are you crazy? And I'm just wondering, how would you recommend somebody navigating something like that who might feel a special sense of financial pressure, you know, cultural pressure to go out and get a job to help out? If he or she is the first person in their family to have educational opportunities, do you know what I'm saying? Can you give us some thoughts about how you'd navigate something like that?
Yeah, you know, the most important thing is communication, and I totally get that. I mean, I'm the first one to graduate from my family, and I had trouble finding a job right after college, and my dad would see me during the day, and he says, what are you doing? You're not working. And I felt that pressure, and I think that right now, I think the world knows that we're in a really bad recession, but what needs to happen is there needs to be communication among family members about what's going on. As long as the student is actively and engaged and looking for a job and not giving up, the whole point is for the student to develop some confidence. And right now the problem is that there's a lack of confidence not only in our economy but also in the job market, and it's really hurting the students because they lack confidence. And for the first time, our children have to lower their expectations. Remember, we have these Generation Xers that kind of felt entitled when they went into and found jobs, that they wanted to be the boss within a year. And now we're having kids who are really understanding that they're having a hard time finding a job. My whole thing is that I try to communicate with the parents and the college grads about what they're trying to do, and we try to create a plan about what they're doing to look for a job, and understand that volunteering and internships also helps them develop skills that will create confidence that will find them jobs. And my job is to educate the parents to not put that undue pressure on their children.
Well, that's good advice. Keep us posted. So how did you finally get a first job, Lewis? Quickly, very fast? How did you first
get it?
Very
quickly. You know, it was going back to what Andy said. It was just contacting my friends and family. And finally, a friend of my dad's found me a job in something that I really wanted to do.
Oh, I'm glad to hear
it. And networking is the most important thing.
All right. Lewis Barajas is a personal finance expert. He's the author of the forthcoming book, My Street Money. He joined us from his home office in Irvine, California. Also with us, Andy Chan, the Vice President of Career Development at Wake Forest University. He's on the line with us today from Stanford University. I thank you both so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Time.